Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
We welcome Lisa Fisher. She will be talking about bullying in the workplace. Bullying in the workplace is unfortunately all too common, and it negatively affects employees' well-being, morale, and productivity. And as a leader, or perhaps as the target of bullying yourself, how can you influence another human to stop their intimidating, humiliating tactics? This workshop is led by Lisa Fisher, who will be teaching us how to begin a path of dialogue. Lisa is a conflict coach and has been for 12 years. She's helped clients deal with bullying at work and at home. She's a black belt in Kenpo Karate, the certified teacher of Yin Yoga, Vinyasa Yoga, and embodied yoga principles. And she's learned a thing or two about staying calm in tense and uncomfortable situations. If you have any questions for Lisa throughout the presentation, please add them in the Q&A option and we'll get to them at the end. And you can upvote questions you would really like answered there. If you have any tech questions, please add them in the chat. Okay, Lisa, take it away.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. I am very happy you are here. Honestly, I would be even happier if you did not have a reason to be here in the first place. So I really hope I can share a few things today that are helpful for you. Why am I here talking to you about working with a bully, besides the obvious reason that I'm the presenter? Bullying is not just business for me. I have been on the receiving end of bullying, personally and professionally, both growing up in Austria, that's where the accent is from, and then after I moved to the US, where being assertive is often glorified and sometimes taken to unhealthy levels. I started my professional career as a lawyer, and there's certainly no shortage of assertive personalities in that field. And back then, the common approach to bullying was, don't take it personally. Just do your work. It'll be okay. Well, bullying is not okay. I want to help create a culture that has no place for bullying. A culture where even when we disagree or we don't like each other, we can still treat each other with respect and work together in peace. So that's why I'm here. Why are you here? I'm curious. Could you please let us know in the chat? Are you here because you are a target of bullying? Either now or you have been in the past. Put a T in the chat if you're a target. Or maybe you are a manager who is expected to put an end to bullying. put an M in the chat if you're a manager, please. And maybe you're here as a friend, which is wonderful. Thank you. Put an F in the chat if you're here as a friend. Okay. Both. All. Lots of T's. Friend and finding conflict challenging. Yes. Again, welcome. First, let me start with a brief overview of what to expect today. Now, you may see me look to the side. Those are my notes, because we only have 50 minutes today. And I want you to get the most out of this session, so I'm trying to stay concise. Also, I was asked to leave some time for questions at the end. And unless I stick to my notes, I know that is not going to happen. So, what is bullying? There's no universally accepted definition, but generally, bullying is considered a persistent pattern of mistreatment that causes physical or emotional harm, and the target has trouble defending against it. Bullying includes a really wide array of behaviors that are humiliating and intimidating, anything from constant criticism or shouting or overbearing supervision. Sometimes it's very subtle, like those icy stares, or you walk into a room and the room goes quiet. Subtle things that make it clear that you are not part of the in-group. So whatever the behavior is, though, it has a significant impact, both on the target in the form of emotional pain and damage to career and health, and also for management and the organization. Bullying creates a hostile work environment. That's the official term we use in the US. And it lowers morale, productivity, and profits. Nobody enjoys going to work when somebody is being bullied. And then people spend time and energy dealing with the bullying rather than doing their work. They call in sick more often. Sometimes they leave altogether, and then it costs the company time and money to replace valuable employees. And a lot of management time is diverted managing conflict and tension rather than actually managing the organization. So in short, bullying is bad for health and well-being, and it's bad for business. In my experience, to successfully address all of that, there are three things that need to happen first. Reduce stress, balance power, and dialogue. In all of the bullying situations I have encountered, the collective stress level is way high. And everybody, sometimes including the bully, ironically, feels powerless. And as a result, people are not really talking. Or they are talking, but they're not talking to the people they should really be talking to. Or they're talking about the wrong issues. Or the conversations are not going well because everybody is so stressed. And then nothing changes. So my goal for you today is to give you a few simple things that you can do to feel less stressed and more empowered so you can have the right conversation with the right people about the right issues and hopefully put an end to the bullying. Before we dive in, let's do a quick check-in. How is everybody doing today? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being completely relaxed and 10 being super stressed, how are you right now? put that number in the chat if you're comfortable doing that.
We do have one question about the intro, Lisa. Before we move on, does the criteria you listed, does it need to fulfill all three criteria for it to be bullying?
It does not. So if you are a 5 or a 6 on the relaxometer or stressometer, consider whether this is the best time for you to be here. Definitely if you're a 7 or above, I see we have some 7s and some 8s here. Really think about whether this might be better to shut down your computer, do something nourishing, and then come back and watch the recording, which is available for 48 hours for free, when you're feeling a little more relaxed. I know on the conference schedule, there was this little spicy pepper icon next to my session to denote that this could be potentially triggering. And that's because bullying is not an easy topic. I will do my very best to approach this gently, and we will not be doing anything crazy tonight, but still, please do take care of yourself. So let's ease into this with a little bit of theory. Now, don't worry, this is not going to be a boring corporate slideshow. It's a practical theory that helps in real life. For me personally, when I understand something better, that alone lowers my stress level. And I also feel more empowered because then I can make a plan what to do. So let's talk about power. Where does power come from? Formal power comes from your position. You may be able to force people to do things because you can threaten negative consequences. Perhaps you can reward people by promising good things to happen, or you can order people what to do because you are the boss. Personal power comes from other people who see you as an expert because you know the right things, or they may look to you as a role model because they see you do the right things. Informational power is about the data you control. Perhaps your position affords you access to sensitive information, or other people see you as an expert because you possess some secret knowledge. What all these three types of power have in common is that they come from the outside, meaning they're not in your control. If you want more of this type of power, you need other people to give it to you. Now, you may look at this, especially as a target of bullying, and say, well, I don't really have any of these types of power, so am I doomed? Or you may look at this and say, well, actually, I do have some power, but for some reason in this bullying situation I'm in, it doesn't do me any good. Well, fear not. As you can tell from this big blank space in the center, there is another type of power that is often overlooked. But since you are here at the Embodiment Conference, you're already catching on. This is inner power, which comes from you, from how you are. We constantly influence everybody around us with our embodied state, how we hold ourselves and how we are. Are we angry? Are we kind? Are we calm? Are we excited or are we bored? All of that influences other people. There is great power in our state. Now, this is not a spiritual pep talk, by the way. This is science. For example, you probably have experienced that when you walk into a room full of people who are laughing because somebody just told a joke, and even though you missed the joke, so you have no idea what they're laughing about, you are laughing as well. This is because our brain constantly registers the state of the people around us. And then the mirror neurons in our brain start to fire. And as their name indicates, they mirror the state of the people around us. So, for example, if I were to talk to you and say, all right, let's talk about power. Or I go, well, we could talk about power, I guess. That lands differently in your body, right? So we influence other people with how we hold our body and how we are. Our inner power, I call it a superpower, not in the cheesy superhero kind of sense, but because it is completely in our control. We can generate as much of it as we want, and we don't need anybody else to give it to us. In my mind, this inner power is the key power for every human being to develop, especially when we want to influence other people in tense situations, such as bullying. So, you have more power than you think. Now that we are warmed up, let's do an exercise. If you are feeling stressed already, like especially our attendees who noted that there are 7 or 8 and you decided to stay anyway, if this gets too intense, feel free to sit this one out. Close your eyes, breathe. It will be short. So this is hypothetical. Imagine you are at a networking event. And it's a group of perfect strangers. So the host says, let's all get to know each other. So please turn to the person next to you and have a chat for 10 minutes. Now you turn to the person next to you and their name tag says bully. This is who you are going to be talking to for the next 10 minutes. What are you doing in your body right now? Are you breathing? What are you doing with your jaw? Your shoulders and your chest. Did you tense any part of your body? Your belly, perhaps. Did you change your position? Maybe move back or move closer to the screen or turn away. Make a mental note for yourself what you did in your body. Now imagine the host turns to you, pulls you aside and says, you know, I know you don't really have to talk to this person if you don't want to. It's totally your choice, but there's also these people you could talk to. Charming, funny, respectful, caring. It's totally your choice. What are you doing in your body now? What changed? End of exercise. If you had your eyes closed, this is a good time to open them again. You did it. So let's take a few deep breaths together. This may have been intense for some of you. So deep inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale, and one more. So let me ask you, when I showed you the image of the bully on the screen, did your stress level go up? Put yes in the chat, if so. Yes. Lots of yeses, some with three S's. And then when I showed you an option to speak with charming, respectful, caring, funny instead, did you relax a little bit? Let me know in the chat. Yes, felt relieved. Usually people experience a sense of relief, thank goodness. Show of electronic hands. There's a little button in the bottom center of your screen with a hand. Show of electronic hands. Who wants to talk to the bully for the next 10 minutes, hypothetically? Very few volunteers. Now let's lower your hands, please. Or perhaps our tech host can do that. Thank you so much. Show of electronic hands. Who would prefer to talk to one of the other people? Who would be okay talking to charming, funny, caring? Yes. Now we have lots of raised hands. So what did you just experience? When I showed you the bully on the screen, you had an automatic physical reaction. There's individual differences, obviously, because we are individuals, but generally there's some form of contracting and tensing. Sort of like you see in this picture. The kid on the left in the yellow shirt is being bullied. Classic bullying situation. I hope your situation is a bit more subtle than that, but this illustrates the principle nicely. So our kid on the left is moving back, chin tucked in. He's making himself smaller to be less of a target. Eyebrows are raised, which is part of the startle response. He's probably trying to figure out, oh, what do I do here? And the corners of his mouth are turned down, so he's clearly not happy to be there. Now, you may have experienced this yourself, and I know I have. When you're in a bullying situation, you don't necessarily feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside about this person. And sometimes you may not be able to think as clearly as you normally do. That is not a personal shortcoming. It is the normal human response to stress when we perceive a threat. And most people respond to being bullied with flight, like our kid on the left here. He wants to get away. And that's exactly what you experienced earlier. Most of you did not want to talk to the bully. Now, the stress response is also known as fight, flight, freeze. And it's not all bad. It serves a purpose. We are wired that way to keep ourselves safe. And from an evolutionary perspective, it makes perfect sense. It was very useful that our mind-body system pumps blood away from the higher level thinking parts of our brain to our arms and legs back way back in the day when we needed to throw a spear at the saber-toothed tiger or run away really fast. But when we're dealing with the human version of a tiger at work, it would be preferable to have a fully working brain. Now the question is, how do we get to that state when we are experiencing an automatic stress response? The good news is, yes, the stress response is automatic, but stress is not just something that happens to us or in us. Stress is something we do. It's an action in the body. We hold our breath. We tense our muscles. And because stress is something we do, that means we can undo stress. We can do something different. Now, this is really good news, because when we're in the middle of a bullying situation, oftentimes we can't just leave and say, sorry, I'm going now, I'm taking a bubble bath to de-stress. We need to stick around. So we can, fortunately, manage our stress response right where we are. Let's do this together. Wherever you are, plant your feet flat on the ground, if that's possible where you are. And if you're sitting, feel the surface you are on. Expand your awareness and look around you beyond the screen of your device. Keep your eyes open. And notice your posture. If you're leaning in any direction, sit up tall. Face forward. And have your head aligned above your hips. Breathe. Take full inhales, open your lungs wide, expand your chest, and full exhale. Now relax your jaw and let your tongue hang loose in your mouth. Release your shoulders away from your ears. And relax your belly. Continue to breathe. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being completely relaxed and 10 being super stressed, how do you feel now? Share that number in the chat if you're comfortable. Okay. No more 7s and 8s. That's encouraging. What we just did, I call power centering. Plant your feet, open wide and expand, and relax your core. That counteracts your fight, flight, freeze response. Instead of contracting and tensing, you expand and relax. And in that state, you also influence the people around you with how you are. So not only are you calming yourself down, but you also calm down the people around you, because their mirror neurons are firing and responding to your calm, grounded, open, relaxed state. You can do this anywhere, anytime, even right in front of somebody who may be bullying you, and they won't notice. It's a ninja technique. It's a great way to actively manage your stress response in any situation that makes you nervous or stressed, such as giving a presentation or saying no to a request. All the accommodating and nice people who are here know exactly what I'm talking about, right? I highly recommend you practice centering. Link it with something that you already do. For example, every time you wash your hands, you plant your feet, open wide, and expand, and relax your center. Easy, right? So, if this is the only thing you're taking away from today's session, you will be way ahead of the game. That alone will help you a lot. Now, since we got our creative brain back online by managing our stress response, let's put it to use. You remember this person here, the bully. You did not know who that is, but most everybody said, nope, not talking to that one. But then you were given the option to talk to charming, funny, etc. instead. And most of you were, okay, I'll talk to those. No idea who these people are, but yeah, I'll talk to them. That is the power of a label. The first thing I recommend to my clients when they tell me, Lisa, I'm dealing with a bully, is don't call them a bully. Make a new label for them. Why do I recommend that? It's not because we should be nice or we shouldn't call people names. As you have experienced earlier, the bully label alone triggers your stress response. It puts you into fight, flight, freeze mode. And when you are super stressed yourself, then the person in front of you will pick up on that and get stressed as well, which is not helpful. It would be more helpful to be grounded, centered, calm. Now, what kind of label can get us to that state? First of all, it needs to be unconditionally true. So don't pretend, don't sugarcoat or minimalize or trivialize who that person is by calling them a strong personality, for example. It needs to be unconditionally true. Also, don't just list their positive qualities. Everybody has positive qualities. So if you're merely saying, oh yeah, this person is smart, your brain will go, yes, he's smart, but he's really a bully. So unconditionally true is key. And secondly, be descriptive. One or two words are not a description. Bully, bulldozer, dictator, even strong personality. We may think that's descriptive, but really that's just a quick judgment of this is bad, stress response gets triggered, I'm out of here. Calling someone a bully, even only in your head, is like yelling danger at yourself. Well, what kind of danger? Yeah, is the house on fire? Is the floor slippery? Is there a hurricane coming? You don't know. And when you don't know what you're dealing with, you don't know what to do. So what do you do about a bully? I don't know. I need more information. The best way to get more information is, instead of labeling the person, label the behavior. What is the person doing? And when? Under what circumstances? Be very specific. Only in private or in public, but only when certain people are around. How often does it happen? And notice any patterns. For example, he shouts when people make a mistake. Now, the last part, the why, can be a little bit tricky. So please bear with me. When I first ask a client, well, why do you think that person might be bullying you? I often get as an answer, well, obviously, they're just not a nice person. I understand you are being mistreated and that feels awful. Please consider that nobody is born mean. This is a learned behavior. They pick that up somewhere, either in school or in their family or maybe at a previous workplace. Somewhere they learned this. So when you are trying to figure out why could this person be bullying me, ask where could they have learned this behavior? Also ask, why would a reasonable, rational person do this? Now you may be going, oh yeah, but that's not a reasonable person we're dealing with here. In that case, ask, if this was my friend having a bad day, why could they be doing this? Or if this behavior had nothing to do with me, what could it be about? Now, keep in mind, you're not doing this to explain the behavior away, to make it okay, or to justify it. No, you are doing this to specify the threat you are facing. And that does two things. Number one, it lowers your stress level. For most of us, a known threat is far less stressful than a unknown big hairy monster under the bed. And number two, you are more empowered because when you know what it is exactly that you're facing, then you can make a plan on what to do about it. So there's one more thing that a lot of people miss when they're trying to figure out why the bullying is occurring. Let's look at our two kids again. Our kid on the left in the yellow shirt is obviously being bullied. He is embodying flight. Now the kid on the right in the blue shirt, on the other hand, is making himself bigger. He's leaning forward. He's poking with one finger and the other hand is in a fist, ready to do what? Fight. And what is fighting? Also a stress response to a perceived threat. Many people overlook this. You may be thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm the one being threatened here. What could they possibly be threatened by? Well, the way they see it, you are the threat. Maybe you have brilliant ideas and you're competition. Or maybe you make mistakes sometimes and you slow down a project or two. Or maybe you're just different and they don't know what kind of box to put you in. They experience you as a threat. But that's not the real threat. Under the surface lies something much more critical. Let's take the example of the person who shouts when somebody is making a mistake. Presumably, there's a reason for the shouting, besides the obvious fact that they don't like it when somebody makes a mistake. Presumably, they would like to motivate everybody to pay more attention and produce accurate work. But why? If the mistakes were to continue, what would happen? Well, they might look bad in front of the boss or the client, because when their team members make mistakes, it reflects badly on them. They might not get a pay raise that they desperately need. They might get fired. They might lose an important client. The company may go bankrupt. Those are serious potential threats. They are fighting because they feel threatened in their professional identity as a smart and capable person. And they are fighting for their survival. What they really want is to look smart and to survive. Now let me ask you, do you want to look smart and survive? We all do, right? Under stress, we may go about it differently. When you look at your specific bullying situation through that lens, that bullying is a stress response to a perceived threat. I'm curious, does it look different? Put a yes in the chat if it does. Lots of yeses. Okay. Okay. So let's look at a new label for our hypothetical person who is shouting when people make a mistake. He shouts at his team members when they make careless errors because he wants to motivate them to produce more accurate work. Maybe he had a teacher who shouted at him and that helped him pay more attention to detail. He may be worried about losing our biggest client, which would bankrupt the company. Does this cause a different reaction in your body than bully? Let's put this to the test. Who would you rather talk to? Raise your hand if you would rather talk to the person on the right who shouts at his team members. Hands are going up. So let me point out that these two are the same person, only with a different label. Also, please remember, you don't have to be excited about talking to this person. All that's needed is for you to be calm enough and have your creative brain online enough so you can have some ideas on what you might be talking about and how you might address the behavior. For example, if you're looking at this new label and you're thinking, well, actually, being shouted at does not motivate me. What would be much more helpful and useful is if we had more time to double check our work. If you're thinking about what you could do next, even when you doubt whether that would work or not, that's how you know you have a better label. All right, let's take a deep breath. Let's do a quick recap of what we talked about so far, and then we'll go to questions. I hope there's still time. So we started with power centering. Plant your feet, open wide and expand. Relax your core. What that does, it calms you down, gets you out of fight, flight, freeze mode, so you no longer want to run away. Then we made a new label, no more bully. You're describing the behavior. What, when, why? We're reframing the threat. You start to think, what is it that this person is really afraid of? How can I demonstrate that I am not a threat to their professional identity or to their survival? How can I demonstrate that there is no need for them to bully me? This hopefully makes you feel less stressed and more empowered and sets you up to have the right conversations with the right people about the right things. Now, obviously, actual dialogues can get rather complex. It might require a lot of finesse and diplomacy. So we do not have nearly enough time tonight to get into that kind of detail. But if all you are taking away from this session, and if all you remember in a stressful situation is that you influence people with how you hold your body and how you are, you will be way ahead of the game. Your embodied state is a communication tool. You communicate both to yourself, this is not a fight, flight, freeze situation, let's keep that creative brain online, and you are also communicating to the person in front of you, I am not a threat that requires an attack, and I am also not a helpless victim, so please don't mess with me. Now let's talk. I hope this gives you a good framework to start. And I believe we have a few minutes for questions. Yes?
Yes, we do have some questions. Thank you, Lisa. So the first one is, are these tips applied to sexual harassment issues in the workplace as well?
That is a challenging question for many reasons.
Okay. Well, and it might be easier. There's some other questions that are maybe related about crossing the line. So mm-hmm. if you have strong ties with someone or when the bully has real destructive power in that person's life and they can't escape the situation, maybe they're all kind of related and you can come at it from that angle.
Okay. So first of all, and this is me speaking as a martial artist, safety. If you are physically unsafe, that needs to be addressed first and foremost. So if you are in any kind of situation where you are being physically abused, please, 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 as soon as possible, learn some self-defense skills. Obviously, centering helps, but centering does not necessarily stop a person from hitting you. You need to learn how to block. I would love to talk more about this, but I don't think I could do the question justice in just a few minutes, but feel free to email me or contact me and we can have a longer conversation.
Okay, some more questions here. How can I demonstrate that I'm not a threat to them? Doesn't that place the burden of how somebody behaves to me?
Yes, I hear that question a lot. And I also saw previously in the chat that somebody said, it doesn't make me feel better to make excuses for the bad behavior. And I think these two are related. So very important, you are not making excuses for the bad behavior. Bullying is not okay, period. What you're trying to do is understand the behavior better so you can get an idea of how you might address it. It does not make it okay to understand why they're doing something, but it helps you deal with it, hopefully. And in terms of the burden being put on you as the target of bullying to not be a threat, I know that kind of stinks and it sounds backward when you're the one being threatened and now you're supposed to not make the other person feel threatened. But it's also very empowering because you're not at the mercy of the person in front of you. And in terms of how to signal that you are not a threat, posture is a great way to start. Like the power centering we did, right? If all you did, for example, was to ground yourself, plant your feet and relax, you might still be collapsed like this. And you look like a victim. Also from a self-defense martial arts perspective, it's like wearing a sign on your forehead saying, you know, please attack me. I don't know what to do. But when you also open wide and expand and you bring your body upright, that sends a completely different message. You're not a threat. You're not going, but you're not going like this either. Calm, relaxed, expansive, and grounded. That sends the message of, I'm not a threat, but don't mess with me. Thank you very much.
We do have a couple more questions. So when the bully crosses a line, like for example, is coaches can get so tough, like if it's a job description or even managers that are grabbing for what they want because maybe that seems like what they should be doing. How do you know when that line is crossed?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
Okay, how do you know when, like, so for example, the coach, if a coach is like pushing you really hard and it kind of becomes abusive, your sensitivity kind of goes up?
Yes. So a good rule of thumb is to watch what you're doing in your body. If you are doing stress in your body to the point that it's not just uncomfortable, but you feel like I must get out of here or I cannot take this anymore, then that's clearly crossing the line. So listen to your body. It's a great communication tool with yourself. I know somebody was asking, sometimes the threat comes in the form of an email. And is it important to communicate calm to yourself as well? Yes. Yes, it is.
And then one last question before we get into closing comments here. What if you can't figure out why you are a threat to the bully?
I recommend you talk to somebody who is not directly involved in the situation. Preferably somebody who's not on your team and who won't just commiserate with you and say, oh, that's so awful. Somebody who can have some objectivity and some neutrality. A lot of times it's much easier for other people to see what's going on. See if that helps.
Okay. Well, I just put Lisa's website in the chat here. You can reach her there. I know there were some questions we didn't get to. There were actually quite a few. This is a big topic, so thank you so much for giving us some insight on how to handle these situations, Lisa. And for everyone, just closing comments, this recording is free for the next 48 hours. If you would like to keep it forever, as well as all 1,000 presentations from the Embodiment Conference, during the conference, that package is half price, so now would be the time to get it. If you can't do the whole package, there's also, you can also just buy one channel. Like, this is the leadership channel, you can just buy one. There's also, if you can't do, there's also, if you just want to donate as a thank you for us putting on the conference, it has been a lot of hours and work and volunteers putting this together. There's a donate button on the Embodiment Conference page as well. Our tech co-Sandra will put in the links for that. There's a private Facebook group, the Embodiment Conference, and the Leadership Channel has a Facebook group as well. Last thing, and yes, the library does allow you to digest this in your own time. It is impossible to see all 1,000 presentations in this span, so getting the package does allow you to digest literally years worth of information and insight at your own pace. And Lisa, our last question for you is, what is your top tip to stay embodied, to stay in our bodies?
When things get tense, plant your feet, open wide and expand, relax your core, and influence with how you are.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much for being here this evening.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for everyone all over the world. The next presentation coming up is in 2 hours on the Leadership Channel. We hope to see you then. Everyone have a great day, morning, night. See you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sandra, our wonderful hosts. And thank you to all the attendees for hanging in there. I know this was not an easy topic. Thank you for all your comments. I know there were a lot of them in the chat. I unfortunately missed a lot of them because they go by very fast. Please feel free to contact me. I will do my best to respond to you personally. Thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate it. And I wish you all the best in transforming your bullying situation. Please remember, you have more power than you may think.